things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 7 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
Another week, another ugly loss. Packers 17, Broncos 19.
Another really ugly ending to the game. That seems to be the theme of the season. Third quarter gives us hope. Fourth quarter makes us cry ourselves to sleep.
Yeah, just like a Vikings fan. This one just seemed to bite a little worse, left a little more bad taste in our mouth. This is coming after our bye week against a team that's not good. The Broncos defense was rated 32nd before our game, and we can only score 17 points.
Are they rated like second now?
31st.
31st. Yeah, no, we did not look good all around, even defense. We never did anything horrible. We didn't give up a ton of points, only 19 points, but we didn't do anything. We didn't.
Yeah, but I'm not going to, I've seen that going around where people are like, well, the defense has got to step up. They got to make some turnovers and score points. It's like, that's really kind of way down the road on what we need.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's about the defense scoring points. I think, and I agree, the offense is the reason we lost this game. If you can't score 20 points in the NFL, you're not going to win many games.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that on defense, we did not we had one sack for no gain, so they didn't lose any yards. It's basically a tackle at the line of scrimmage. And only three tackles for a loss. We didn't break up any passes. We didn't take away the ball at all. And Russell Wilson, who's having a bad year, looked like a good quarterback. He was only hit three total times the whole game.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. I would agree with that. But some of the stuff I was referring to is that people are saying that the defense needs to step up and start scoring some points so we can win some games. It's like, that's not the way it works. Yeah, it's great when it happens, but we're 2-4 now. And in those six games, the defense has allowed an average of 22 points a game. If you take out the Lions game, where they scored 34, we're averaging 19.6 points against. And this game here, I think it was the biggest issue is we couldn't stop the run. Denver averaged above 5 yards a carry. We, by the way, didn't do too bad. It was 4.7 per carry.
Yeah. And I mean, we had talked about that last week that it was going to come down to us being able to run the ball because you can run the ball on the Broncos. And we saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Aaron Jones back, which is a big deal. And then, the problem is they can also run the ball on us, and every team this year can run the ball on us.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to do anything in that area. We haven't adjusted. It doesn't seem like we're doing anything different. So I don't know. We have a lot of injuries. We had more injuries crop up in this game, a couple of them from some nasty hits. Too. I know their player, who was it, got suspended?
Yeah, I got that written down here.
Suspended for four games.
Kareem Jackson is the one who put that hit on Luke Musgrave. Just a nasty hit. And you know what? Sometimes I look at it and say, it's a fast game. Things happen. But this guy doesn't get it. He got suspended for four games without pay, thankfully. But he was suspended from one earlier this year. And he's been fined four times for just under $90,000 for the same issue. He's not getting it.
Well, and they said that he had two hits in this game that were suspension eligible.
Hmm.
So not even just that one. I'm not sure what the other one was. But
I don't either.
Otherwise, like looking at our injury list here, we came into the game, like you said, off our bye week with 10 starters on the injury report. In this game, we had injuries to Devontae Wyatt, Eric Stokes, Darnell Savage, Josh Myers, Dontavian Wicks, Rudy Ford, Luke Musgrave, and Christian Watson.
That's just crazy.
So I know we talk about this every season. It feels like we have to be one of the most injured teams. And then you say, you know, that's how every fan feels. We looked it up the other week. Yes, we have been for decades one of the most injured teams. We could not afford that this year. We did not have any depth in our lineup. We needed everyone, especially the starters, to stay healthy, and that is not happening.
Yeah, I just saw an article. I should have kept it. Let's see if I put it in my notes. But they went through it and looked at it, and the worst year for us, I think it was like 2012, maybe. Okay, yeah, I did. I got it right here. This came from SI. Let me get back down to it here.
I do remember a lot of injuries 2012, like a crazy number of starters. 2010, we had a lot of starters injured for most of the regular season, and then they got healthy at the end and we made the Super Bowl run. Think we'll do that this year?
I know. So according to a subscription site, Man Games Lost, Packers weren't one of the most injured teams in the NFL last year. They were the third healthiest team in the NFL based on games lost to injuries. Combined, their injured players were sidelined for 121 games. The Vikings, who won the NFC North, their players missed 184 games. So that's for last year. Let me scroll down because they bring it down to other years.
Fake news.
So just going back last year, as far as where you're ranked.
Yeah.
The lower the rank, the worse, I guess. Let me just double check that. I'm trying to scroll through all the freaking ads. All right. I only got 2020, we were ranked 14th, but 2022 was 7th, 2021, 28th, 2014, 2020, 14th, 2019, 6th.
What are these rankings?
For how many games lost for man hours when players were injured.
But like would first be a lot of, or would last like 32nd be a lot?
Let's see, from 2014 through 2022, the Packers, via Man Games Lost data, ranked among the 10 healthiest teams in 2015 at 8th, 2019 at 8th, 2022 at 3rd, but never among the 10 most injured teams.
Hmm. So, I wonder how we would rank when it comes to overcoming injuries, because we're not good at that.
No, we're not. And that, I think a lot of that, isn't that coaching?
Oh, yeah, definitely is. And I think that's kind of where you saw it. We talked about, you know, the defense not getting any takeaways, not getting much of a rush, things like that, not doing great against the rushing game. But the big time you see a good defense compared to a mediocre defense is in those clutch moments, you know, the big time got to stop them moments. Mm-hmm. We did not. Those are the times we failed in this game as a defense. We gave up points on the opening drive of the game, the final drive of the first half, and immediately following our first touchdown, after we took the lead, we gave up points. So you're right. 19 points should win us most games if that's all we give up. But at this point, it's not going to do it this season. And the big moments when we need the stops, it's not really coming. But we're also not getting the big moments on offense.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's really frustrating when we're struggling to make first downs, or even, how about backup, struggling to get some decent yardage in first and second, so we got third and long, so we can throw the bomb. It's like third
struggling
and seven,
to not
throw
move backwards.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We move backwards quite a bit this year.
Ah, my gosh.
I think the frustrating thing too is, and I'm not ready, like a lot of people, you know, are pretty frustrated with Jordan Love. If you look online, I'm not ready to give up on him because I don't really know what we have yet. But he throws the ball downfield a lot. Less in this game, there's a lot of screen plays. It seems like LaFleur is trying to kind of reel that in. Mm-hmm. But he throws it downfield a lot, and he's ranked at the bottom of the league in efficiency throwing downfield. Yeah. He throws long balls more than anyone and does worse than anyone. And we've seen that in like the big moments, like this game, those big, gotta have it, big throws, almost every time he's under throwing the ball.
Yep. I would say 90% at least. Yeah. And he doesn't have a problem throwing it at double coverage. So,
and he's really under throwing it. You underthrow it a little, that's when you got guys like kind of trying to backpedal and slow down, and the defender mm-hmm. runs into him, you get pass interference. Right. That's okay. But he's under throwing it so much, the only guys who have a chance at the ball are the defenders. And it makes you wonder, like, we talked so much about him sitting behind, I almost said Favre, sitting behind Rodgers for 3 years and learning from him. He might not have learned everything that we would want him to learn, because he looks like Rodgers when he throws the ball. He throws a lot of sidearm. He throws off his feet, off platform. His deep balls he's throwing are from a standstill half the time, very Rodgers-esque, mm-hmm. but he's underthrowing them.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you wonder, like, if he planted his feet and stepped into the throw, yeah, you get 10, 15 more yards. That's a perfect throw. Maybe we need to stop trying to throw it like Aaron and throw it like a normal human being normally has to.
I get what you're saying. And I think it's... I think there's so much going on right now for this kid. He's young himself. He's, what is he, 23? So he...
he's 14, actually.
14?
Yeah.
He looks pretty old for 14.
He does. We also kind of, not we. I mean, I guess we are part owners, so maybe we did. We threw him to the wolves this season. You know, we've talked a lot about having that 3 years of experience behind the starter, and that's not something organizations really do anymore. I like that we did it with Love, but we still did not prepare him well for this season. We have no depth at wide receiver. You know, we have Romeo Dubs and Christian Watson coming into their second year, hoping that they're better than they were as rookies. Our offensive line, we have one offensive lineman rated as average, Zach Tom. Everyone else's rating is significantly below average on the season. So he has a poor offensive line and no veteran receivers to throw it to as a first-year starter for Green Bay. That's really asking a lot, especially if you want him to succeed.
I agree. And I am, you know what, from what I've seen, I'm willing to, you know, if we got it, it's going to take a year for him to get the wherewithal to be able to play well in this league, so be it. You know, it's other teams, they go through at least 2 years with a quarterback. You'll start getting excited because that second year he'll start playing better. Mm-hmm. But then typically there's so much tape on that young quarterback, when push comes to shove, they just can't do it typically till the third season. But I'm not, there's so much going on this thing with the injury situation and bringing in Love to replace Rodgers. The consistency isn't there. But if we had less injuries, and like you said, if we had some veteran presence in that wide receiver group, mm-hmm. I would think it would help a lot. But it really hurt us with our running game, with the injuries. So that it all comes together. It's all part of the problem.
All around, yeah. And I don't know. Should we do a draft preview for the last half of this? Because I think there's only two teams with less wins than us. So who's that? Is it Caleb Jones, that stud that everyone wants to draft? Maybe we have a shot this year.
We'll never get that kid.
No. We'll probably get a high draft pick and end up drafting someone who shows glimmers of potential, but never quite turns the corner. We're very good at that with our first round picks.
Wow, Mr. Positivity.
It's been a frustrating day, as you can tell. I do think, because some of the worst first half offensive performances I can ever remember seeing from the Packers. just looking horrible in the first half the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we need to do is someone needs to, like, you know, go up to Jordan Love at the beginning of the game and be like, hey, you're awake? And he'll be like, what do you mean? And say, like, you fell and hit your head. You missed the whole first half. It's still 0-0, but we're going into the third quarter. And if he thinks it's the third quarter, I think we have some hope. And then you have to convince him every quarter after that is also the third quarter.
Right, right. And, but yeah, keep him out of the fourth quarter for that interception.
Yeah.
That was tough. That was a tough way to end the game.
It was tough. Because, like, the third quarter, you know, we had done horrible the whole first half. And then we start with a 64-yard field goal drive, 75-yard touchdown drive the next time we get the ball. And then the next time is a 76-yard go-ahead touchdown drive. We had almost 215 yards on those three drives, which was 65% of our yards for the whole game. So we can do it in the third quarter. We see that this offense can work, but, oh man, we are just getting hurt with that lack of kind of emotion in the first half and then the ugly ways of finishing these games. Because like you said, it's getting bad. This is 2 weeks in a row now. We saw them just fall apart in the final drive when they had a chance to win.
Yeah. And unfortunately, if it continues, it typically stays. You continue and continue and continue because you just start getting into your head that, yeah, we can get ahead, but we can't keep it kind of thing. So,
yeah. Because this was a very manageable one, you know, as far as coming back. We could take the lead with a field goal. 2 minutes, 22 seconds on the clock. First and 10, we're at Denver's 44-yard line. So, like, we could have been at our own 10-yard line with Rodgers and been like, we have a chance. There's over 2 minutes on the clock. Mm-hmm. We are already in Denver's side of the field. And all that we end up seeing is A.J. Dillon gets stopped, no gain. Elton Jenkins flagged for a hold. We get pushed back. Jordan Love throws it behind Christian Watson on second and 20. Not only incomplete, but Watson gets injured on the play. Third and 20 is when he threw the deep ball into double coverage that was intercepted. It's like, it cannot go worse than that.
No, I know. I know. That's hopefully he'll get over his, what do they call that in baseball? The
yips.
The yips. That's it. The yips.
You're not even supposed to say that out loud.
Yips. 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 Yips.
It's like saying Beetlejuice three times. It appears.
You got to be in the bathroom with the lights on, looking in the mirror.
I feel like a lot of the times on these games, you're kind of pounding the drum of what went wrong, and I'm trying to find all the silver linings, but I don't have much for silver linings other than that third quarter.
I don't either. I was like going through doing my pregame ritual of trying to do some investigative journalism for our lonely listener. And it's just like, I've been all the stories, whether they're from Wisconsin or the national news, it's just like, ew, they just don't look good. Mm-hmm. But if I can, before we move on, I got a couple of injuries that were kind of crazy. We got Darnell Savage re-injured his calf. And looks like it's probably going to be.
Mm-hmm. I thought you meant you had some injuries.
No. God, you wouldn't want to hear about all those. He's most likely going to be out several weeks. Heard today that Christian Watson looks like he dodged a bullet. And he says he should be playing in the Viking game. But that's the player, not the coach. And Eric Stokes in his first game in almost a year. And it looks like he might have re-injured his foot. So that's, man.
Football's a tough game, man.
Yeah. Well, they keep getting bigger and faster, and they keep breaking each other.
Yeah. They can get bigger and faster, but the body can only take so much. That's well, they're right. So big and fast now. You have a lot of players that hurt themselves. Don't even need to get hit by someone. You can just run, like, do the, who was it that was always, was Calvin Johnson? He was hurt quite a bit, right? Just kind of from sheer. He took a lot of hits, though. There's someone I'm trying to think of who was always so fast and stuff, but they would hurt their hamstring every time.
Or yeah, kind of like a like certain that. Running back this year in the first game.
Yeah. Or it's a certain rookie phenom receiver we had last year. Every time Watson played, it felt like he found a way to hurt himself without getting hit.
And it's crazy how, look at Garoppolo, the quarterback. I mean, he's playing for a different team, but I think he's been out two games already this year, at least, because he's been hurt. And it's just like certain players, it just, I don't know, man.
A lot of injured quarterbacks at the moment. A lot of backups when I watched Red Zone for the noon games. So, which makes the games interesting. Makes the betting lines hard to tell. It was a weird week for games. A lot of close ones, a lot of upsets. I think the top four teams for like DVO ranking, as far as DVOA ranking, as far as being the best teams in the league, all lost. And that's the first time that's happened in a week since 91.
Wow. DVOA?
Yeah. That's like, it's per play kind of efficiency. So it's situational based, as far as like what the game situation is, personnel you have on the field, and then what your success rate should be and how you convert kind of. It's probably the best statistic for what actually represents if a team is performing well in the season, but it's insanely complicated if you try to look at their kind of algorithm for how they come up with it. But you hear about it a lot on like fantasy stuff or like football podcasts. That's kind of like the insider stat, the defense adjusted value over average.
Are you doing fantasy this year?
I am. I missed the first round of the draft because I got confused on the time and the computer auto drafted Deshaun Watson for me. Probably the last player I would ever want on my team. So I wasted a first round pick because I dropped him.
You couldn't even trade him?
Nope. Didn't even want to get something from him.
Wow.
So let's see. I'm 4-3 now, though. And I beat the team I was playing against who had 70% of their team on bye, had to drop players just to get people off the waiver wire and fill slots. I beat them by less than a point. Yeah, I thought it was going to be an easy cakewalk. But also, Bijan Robinson, the stud rookie running back for the Falcons, has been doing really well for me. And going into halftime, he had been in for one snap where he was kind of just a distraction. Turns out he had an illness. Is what the team said, an illness, didn't play, but was not listed even in the hour before the game when they have to disclose illnesses.
They're being investigated by the league. Yeah, they're probably going to end up getting fined or something. It's like now in this day and age of legalized gambling, that's kind of a bigger deal than it used to be.
Yeah, you have a lot of upset people all of a sudden when you're hiding something like that with your stud running back.
Hey, just, you know, whenever you have gambling involved, it's always a matter of information. You know, you get somebody that pays some team personnel to let them know any insight. So it helps them with their betting. And you know, this is going to, if it hasn't gone on, it is going on. Excuse me. And it's kind of like the Michigan. Have you followed Michigan football with the Deion? Stealing signs?
Oh, wait. No, Deion is someone else. With stealing signs in Michigan? Yeah. No, I haven't followed that.
It's, of course, Harbaugh, their head coach, says, oh, no, there's no stealing signs. But apparently they got one of their employees who buys tickets to games, excuse me, for teams that they're going to play, and he'll buy. There's so much info. I don't know how much of it's real and true, but it apparently like two tickets for each game, one on each side of the field. And then trying to, because they don't have headsets where they can call in a play. They have to do them by hand or have a player go in and give the play. So a lot of teams will do like those big placards that they have silly pictures on. And so that the beef is that they were, for the last couple of years, have been stealing plays. And so when they play the team, then they know. And to me, that's getting kind of ticky-tack, because if the NCAA wants to clamp down, I mean, it's a nationally broadcast game. You can steal a lot of plays just watching it on TV. So I don't know what.
Yeah, that kind of feels like a, if you're not cheating, you're not trying type thing.
That's right. It's like
what, you didn't want to hire someone to go learn the other team's signs? That's kind of on you.
That's your problem. Deion Sanders, he kind of said, I don't see as much of a big deal. He said you could mail somebody your playbook. They still got to make the stop. He said, mm-hmm. This isn't like baseball. If I know somebody's throwing me a curveball, sure, I'll cream it. But it's different in football. But we'll see. I think a lot of it is just they like to keep things in the news.
Yeah. And also, like, you can only do so much when you steal signs in football, because you can't watch what the offense is calling and then decide what to do on defense. You need your personnel out on the field. So it's not, mm-hmm. you're adjusting kind of on the fly, and maybe you can get like some kind of message into your inside linebacker who communicates it to the defense. But it's not like, you know, okay, they're going to do play action here and they're definitely throwing it, you know, mm-hmm. and you can do personnel based on that. So,
right. I don't know. Maybe we'll hear more and more as it goes on. I'm sure they'll be writing stories about it because they need us to click. But it's just more coming out of Michigan. I think Harbaugh's probably done. He's going to be going to the NFL again.
Interesting.
All right. Are you ready for a game ball?
I was just going to say, did you have anything else on the game that you really wanted to talk about? Anders Carlson finally missed a field goal.
Yeah, I got that one out of the way.
Got it out of the way. That's right. We didn't want to be, you know, in that playoff push, wondering when the first miss was coming.
That's right.
All right. But yeah, I don't have a ton more to talk about.
Well, if you got anything, go for it.
Not really. The only thing I was going to mention is Quay Walker on the defense looked like he was getting visibly frustrated at points. I don't know if you saw that. Like, I don't know if guys were doing the wrong thing on defense, but there were certain plays where Quay was all of a sudden like hands up, what's going on type thing.
I didn't see that.
After the play. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. I haven't seen anything about it afterwards, so I can't really tell you what was going on. We only had three tackles for a loss on the day, and he had two of them. So he was kind of one of the only guys that felt like was really running around out there.
Yeah, and he didn't push anybody.
Hey, he's learning. Or no one got close enough to get pushed. Right.
Nobody from the other team personnel.
they all know to stay away. Stay clear of that guy, unless you're trying to get a penalty. But yeah, I'm ready for the game ball if you are.
All right. And now it's time for the Bleeding Green and Gold game ball.
All right. This week's game ball goes to with the best passer performance of the season so far for the Packers, a rating of 118.8, Dontavian Wicks.
Woo!
He went 1 for 1 for 14 yards. Yeah, I couldn't find too much else that didn't feel like a huge reach, even though this was a big reach. So I think it's okay. He didn't have any catches on the day. He had one run for a yard. Or no, he did have one catch for 17 yards as well. But he's looked good this year. As far as rookie receivers go, you know, even with a young quarterback, Dontavian Wicks looks like we might have something there for the future. And it was a pretty nice throw, you know, across the whole, you know, width of the field. Yeah. Got it to his guy.
It was smooth.
I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother.
All right. Congratulations, Wicks. Your first Bleeding Green and Gold game ball.
Game ball.
Picks this week are a little different. We did week 6's picks. Then because of the way the Packers schedule kind of fell and our recording schedule with it, we missed picks for week 7. So last week's games we did not pick for. What I would say we do here, if it works for you, is I'll go over week 6, kind of how our picks ended up, where we're at now. And then for the last week where we didn't pick, if you want to clean up any games worth mentioning.
I think that's perfect.
All right.
You are
so in
smart.
Week 6, we both thought the Chiefs would beat the Broncos because who would lose to the Broncos? And we were correct. We both thought Ravens would beat the Titans and were correct. I thought the Bears could beat the Vikings at Soldier Field. I was wrong. You got one on me there. Lions at Buccaneers. We both took the Lions and they won. We both thought the Bills would beat the Giants and we were correct. And then we had the primetime game, Monday night, Cowboys at Chargers. You took the boys, I took the Chargers, and you were correct. Meaning Mike is up +2 in the pick'em at the moment. And then week 7, we did not get any picks in. So which games would you like to touch on?
Well, the first one that really stuck out for me was the Ravens over the Lions, 38-6. Wow. that was a surprise. Bears over the Raiders.
That was the whole game, just a butt kicking.
Really?
With the Lions. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't.
I saw it on Red Zone. So I saw everything good happening for the Ravens. But oh man, Lamar Jackson is looking really good. Ravens overall look like they're really kind of getting things figured out this season. But the Lions just couldn't get anything going.
Bill Belichick won his 300th game, and they were over the Bills 29-25. Didn't see that one coming.
Surprising win after how they've looked the last few weeks.
Yeah. Giants over the Commanders, and that, you know, you got a couple of teams that aren't that good, and it looked like a bad game from what I saw. I didn't expect the Falcons to beat the Buccaneers at home. That was kind of a surprise. Game we got coming up in a couple of weeks, the Rams, Steelers beat them 24-17 in LA. Chiefs had an easy time at the Chargers. Eagles over the Dolphins. Dolphins seem to be kind of like a hot and cold team.
They have no defense.
Okay.
So their offense is great, ton of speed, but if they come up against a good offense, it's not been good for them. They can't stop anyone. Jalen Hurts is having a weird year.
Oh, really?
Are they 5-1, I think, right now, the Eagles?
6-1 now.
Yeah. He has as many interceptions already as he had all of last season. Same with the season before.
Wow.
He's throwing a lot of picks, but they just keep winning.
That's a good team, man.
They are a good team.
Win with that. And then just like the Lions losing big, I was surprised to see the Vikings win over the 49ers at home with Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football. It was 22-17 Vikings.
Kirk doesn't do that on Monday night.
No, what the heck is going on, man?
I heard it was an exciting finish. I didn't see any of it. I was asleep.
Hey, did you hear what happened? Speaking of exciting finish, Minnesota Gophers are, I believe, in Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. Tight game. Almost to the end, and Minnesota kicks off. Hawkeyes get the ball, run it back for a touchdown to take the lead. Hardly any time left. And I believe they called a incomplete fair catch or a penalty on fair catch. And so they said, no, he waved like it was a fair catch, but he caught it and ran it.
No, I saw that. I wasn't quite sure the whole context, but I did see a highlight of the play. They said he called for a fair catch. Yeah. Which, from the highlight, he absolutely did not. He pointed,
really?
He pointed at, like, block that guy, you know, type thing to his own guys. He was, like, pointing, like, he, like, kind of had his arm out to the side as he was running, and then he pointed with the other arm to some guys, like, blocked them, and then he caught it. Like, I mean, are you supposed to stand there with your arms down by your side like a board? He didn't raise it above his shoulder level.
Right.
So I don't know. I would be pretty frustrated if I was a fan.
Yeah, that was that Gene Serafini? He's like was a former NFL ref, and now he's the specialist.
Gene Serator? No.
Serator. He disagreed.
Sometimes you
with
say
the
names
call.
So wrong that then I can't think of the right one.
I'm so good.
Serafini. Sounds like something you would order at the bar.
When they went to him, do you remember that catch? It was they said it was a tie on the catch in the end zone. And he said, I think that's an interception.
Yeah.
And
just like the fail Mary.
But and that's what they referenced too. And it's like when I don't know, man, this guy is supposed to be the expert, but both your mom and I are like on, no, that's not, there's no way that was an interception. He actually came out after the game and went on social media and said he got it wrong. He said he was excited in the moment and didn't play out all the, and he said, it happens. You know, we make mistakes.
I imagine if that call would have been an interception in the game, you would have had Packer fans storming the field.
That would have been something.
Yeah. Especially if it was at the end of Lambeau. Imagine if it was like, I mean, this was just in the third quarter, but imagine if that was at the end of the game, like to take the lead or something, and then they call an interception.
Oh, yeah. Bring back good memories, Sean. Why don't you?
Oh, will do.
All right. We got to do our pickers.
We do. We don't have many. We don't have a London game to pick for in primetime. And then the two Sunday night game and Monday night games are both NFC North games. So we don't have a ton of games to pick. Only four this week. So we will start out with Thursday night football. The Buccaneers traveling to the Bills.
I think the Bills are going to right the ship. I'll go with the Bills.
I'm going Bills. Yeah. Honestly, the Buccaneers are 3-3, have had some good wins, but I don't, from what I've seen, they just don't feel like a good team to me. So, yeah, I'm going to go Bills, too.
Baker Mayfield is not Tom Brady, so I think that hurts him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. You know, you see an organization lose their generational quarterback, and all of a sudden things aren't going well. Where have we seen that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And also, I mean, one thing we didn't talk about real quick today with the Packers is the amount of dead cap space we have is insane.
Oh, I know.
It's like 60-something million, and then we have Bakhtiari out for the season, which is another 20-something million. So, yeah, this is not the team they will be in a year or two when that dead cap is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have any depth because we can't afford it, and now we have guys hurt. So it's a skeleton crew at the moment.
Hey, did you get a call?
No, why did you call me?
No, I got a call from the Packers.
Oh, for the Packers. Yeah,
yeah, they heard that I'm good at taking up space, so they want me to play a line.
I'll be honest. I'm not offended I didn't get a call, but if they called you before me, I would be pretty offended.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying.
two hip replacements, bad knees, bad shoulders. Come on, put me out there, coach.
I did learn today that when a sixth grader is beating up another sixth grader, I can pick that sixth grader fully off the ground.
Good day at work. Huh?
And they can just dangle there with their feet flapping until I decide what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, man.
Vikings at Packers, unless you want to pick that one last.
Yeah, let's do that one last.
All right. Bears at Chargers on Sunday night football.
Got to go with the Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to pick the Bears.
Yeah.
Raiders at Lions for Monday night football. That might be a fun game.
I'll go with Lions. Excuse me.
Yeah, I'll go Lions too. It's hard to pick the Raiders. So we have agreed with all three of them. Then we only have one game left, the Vikings at the Packers. And that is at noon Central Time.
Yeah, I'll go with the Pack.
All right.
I think Vikings. It's a tough one. Did you pick?
I'm going Vikings.
Are you? Okay.
I don't feel good about it.
Hey, they're 3-4. They won 3 of their last 4 games. So they're doing good. And they got also, that win over 49ers.
We have so many injuries at key mm-hmm. spots that I just don't feel confident with what we're putting on the field. Like, I'd be a little bummed if, you know, this was my first game going to Lambeau, see the pack. Mm. And it's like a preseason game. You don't get to see the starters.
That's true. That's true. And you know what? You're on the same subreddit I am on Reddit that for the Packers. And you see these people. I mean, they come in from all over the world. I'm coming to Lambeau Field and this for this game and get to see all the players. And then you're spending probably $10,000, I would assume, for your flights and hotels and food.
That seems tickets. A little excessive.
Oh, come on, man.
How many people are you bringing?
Just 2.
Okay.
But it's got to be disheartening when you find out that the players you wanted to watch are not going to mm-hmm. be there, or they're so banged up, they're not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'd be bummed even making the trip from Minnesota. All right, that's our pick'em. We only have the one game we disagree on. You are up by 2, so I have a chance to either gain one on you or you pull a little further ahead.
Just wanted to wrap up the next 6 games. So we've got the Vikings coming up Sunday at noon. And then we host the Rams, who are 3-4. Then we hit the Steel City. Pittsburgh is 4-2. And we host the Chargers, who are 2-4. Play the Lions, who are 5-2 on Thanksgiving in Detroit. And then we host Taylor Swift's team at 6-1.
I didn't even know she had a team.
Oh, yeah. She took over.
I saw some highlight of her, like, I can't think of Mahomes' wife, but Patrick Mahomes. They had a highlight where she kind of showed her and Swift in the same reaction, where Kelsey didn't get the catch and Mahomes' wife starts cheering because she knows it's pass interference, where Taylor Swift is like, disappointed because he didn't catch it. I don't think she quite understands the game yet. I wonder if that will improve.
This is a thing, and there's understanding the game and then there's like really understanding the game.
Have you seen the stats on Travis Kelce's performance when she's at the game compared to when she's not?
No.
He's significantly worse when she's in the crowd so far. Which I get it, it makes sense. Kind of like you talked about, if you fail in the final drive of the game, that kind of becomes your mentality and what's mm-hmm. in your head.
Yeah. I hope she comes to Lambeau.
Yeah, me too. I'll invite her. I'll send her a tweet right now. Or no. You can't even do that.
It's an X.
Is that what it's called? You send an X?
I don't know. What a
Musk moron that guy is.
Musk is blowing that whole thing up, man. It's so silly what he's doing.
It is. All right. But yeah, we are almost halfway through the season. Feels weird to say. It feels like we just started. But we will see from here. I feel like this Broncos game was really kind of the benchmark to see, like, will we be able to make this season interesting, make a wild card push, or is this a full on rebuild? And I would kind of say we're probably full on rebuild at this point.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to wait and see how we bounce back after this. We're back home. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking with, I gave you the records of those games we got coming up, and I did that on purpose so we could hopefully, get back to 500.
Yeah, but we've also had the 5th easiest schedule in the league so far.
Well, I know.
And, I mean, Steelers are 4-2, but they have to be one of the worst 4-2 teams I've ever seen. They're still 4-2, but, man, have they looked ugly in a lot of areas. So maybe we have a chance there, too. But hey, you never know. Football's weird.
Yeah, it is. That's why it's shaped the way it is.
Exactly.
Because it bounces funny.
Yeah.
You never know.
Any final thoughts before we call it an evening and fine show out to the fans?
We just to do my Mike Brady, for those of you who are too young, that's the Brady Bunch, Mike Brady, the old TV show. And just to remind you, try to have fun. don't let the losses get you down. Just try to enjoy the season. There's a long gap with a lot of filler stuff. They always want to keep the NFL out in the media. When the Super Bowl's done, it is a long time for it to get any meaningful stuff. So enjoy the games.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, looking at it from the angle of we're 2-4, but we haven't lost four of our first six games since 2006, it was. So that's 17 years, almost two decades of not having this bad of a start to the season. That's a little spoiled.
Yeah, and I'm starting to understand what Jets fans feel like.
No, you don't. You have no idea. You better hope they don't hear you say that. You don't know pain like Jets fans know pain.
Hey, how about that? I know you remember this because we both thought it was hilarious. The guy who's standing outside the Cleveland Browns stadium with the video at the end of the season. Do you remember him?
You are a factory of sadness. I give you my money and you give back to me crushed dreams or something like that. See you next week.
Oh, God. That was hilarious. And you just could see the pain in their face and their eyes when they're doing it. Oh, gosh. All right, there.
This has been a very Midwest goodbye on the pod.
Yes, true. Welcome.
All right.
Minnesota goodbye. Until next week, go
Pack.
Go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go.